I have that impression, make that impression on people sometimes. You know, we're having communion this morning, so you got dinner and a show, which is a good place to say there's an offering plate up here at the front when you come to take communion, bring your offering. So, you know, there. I was reading the last few weeks the Chronicles of Narnia. If you haven't read those, I'd encourage you to. They're children's books. There's seven of them. And they're this fantasy story. And in this one, this is the last one, the last battle. There's this scene where the king and his best friend, the unicorn, are talking. So as you can tell, it's a fantasy. It's not reality. And they have this enemy on their border who is threatening their kingdom. And some really weird stuff's going on. And they really are not sure what's going to happen when they confront this enemy. But they're on their way to do that. There is this a lot of mystery surrounding the real circumstances and who's going to help them and who's not. And the king finally says to the unicorn, he says, well, we must go and take the adventure that comes to us. And that's what we do as Christians. We don't determine what life is going to look like. We take the adventure that comes to us. And we take it in this hope that we don't do that by ourselves, but that as God abides in us and as the Holy Spirit helps us, then we have the opportunity to make a difference in the world. And so we're part of this story that God is writing. And so following Jesus isn't so much about learning the rules and keeping them. It's not about knowing exactly what we're supposed to do as much as it is finding our place to be part of God's story that He is writing in the world. You know, the Old Testament starts with a story. It starts with the creation, with Eve and with Adam in the garden. It talks about God who stoops down in the dirt and who breathes into man this breath of life. And it has a snake and a fruit and this story that helps us begin what God is going to do. And yeah, we got the Ten Commandments in there in the Old Testament in a couple of places and some laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But the vast majority of what it is this story of God pursuing people, of God seeking to have relationship and to convince us that He loves us. And the New Testament starts with a story too, a little baby born in a barn, and angels who speak to a couple who are barren, and a young girl, angels who come and appear to shepherds, and these wise men who come from the east, this story that unfolds. And when Jesus begins to call His disciples, He doesn't give them a book to read. He doesn't sit them down in a classroom. He says, follow Me. As if we learn faith by living. As if the greatest expression of our faith is not what we believe doctrinally or theologically, but is in how we love our neighbor. And He's walking along, and Matthew is sitting there at a tax collector's table, and Jesus says, come and be part of this story. Zacchaeus is up a tree, and all he wants to do is see Jesus pass by. And even though that's all he wants, he gets invited to be part of the story. The rich young ruler comes to him, and he wants to know how he can know that he has eternal life. And Jesus says, come and follow Me. Be part of the story. And the rich young ruler, he goes away sad because he doesn't want to be part of the story. He just wants to know the answer to his questions. But following Jesus is about trial and error. It's about this awkward learning to love our neighbor who is not like us. It's doing those difficult things that are part of the adventure that comes to us. And that's why Megan's life was so powerful. She wasn't about answers or formulas, but about practicing that love, figuring out how to do that. And so we are all invited, every one of us, are invited to be part of God's story. Look around you. Where is God at work in your life and in your world? Be part of that. If you don't know, if you see a need, that's the place where God wants you. God whispers this invitation to all of us to come and be part of this bigger story than my life. Have a life that isn't measured by the number of days or years we live, isn't measured by the amount in our checking account, not measured by the name on our door, but this life that is poured out into the bigger story of what God is doing to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You don't have to do spectacular things. You just have to love the best you can. You don't have to do it perfectly or flawlessly. You just have to love anyway. You don't have to change the world. You just have to change the way you love the people around you. You don't have to cross the ocean. Just cross the street. Just find somebody who needs to be loved and love them. That's the story that God is writing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are still and continually writing this story. And Father, this adventure that comes to us is not exactly the one we would choose. There are things that we would change if we could, but it's not under our control. But we take this adventure, we take this life that we have, and we offer it to become part of your story, of what you're doing in our neighbors' lives, in our world, so that we can be one of those maybe unnamed and unremembered people who play a part, who take the opportunity to be part of what God is doing. We thank you for Jesus, who showed us what that looks like, who empowers us by his Holy Spirit to have the courage to do those awkward, uncomfortable, imperfect things that are part of loving our neighbor. And so, Father, as we come to your table this morning, we ask that you would remind us again of how much you have loved us. As difficult and as hard as it is and was, that you continue to pursue us and to invite us in. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to communion this morning, I remind you that you do not have to be a member of this church or of any church, but this is the Lord's table, it's not our table, and you're invited to come as you come in faith, as you hear this invitation to be part of his story. We take communion by intinction, which pull off a piece of bread and you dip it in the cup and receive it. So hear the word of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right, and it is a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image, and you breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through your prophets who looked for that day when justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation would not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, he gave birth to your church. He delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by this blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Okay, But we've got some